It's time for some fresh air. So start packing, put on some sunscreen, and grab your favorite walking stick. This is WTMJ Outdoors, presented by Outdoor Living Unlimited. Here's your host, Steve Scafidi.
Welcome to WTMJ Outdoors. I've been talking about this show for a long time, and this is like one of the best things you could do beyond the hunting. Obviously, gun deer season, the 9-day hunt, opening weekend is special. I've sort of led up to this week with all the stories, deer camp stories, favorite food, all the hunting things that I always talk about on WTMJ Outdoors. And thanks to the folks at Outdoor Living Unlimited for making that all possible. And all of you for listening every week. But this is a special one because we are at our deer camp. Well, sort of. Joining me on today's program, one of the nicest guys, one of the smartest guys I know, Nate Van Zeelen. Welcome.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
And this guy, he's been on, I think he's been on WTMJ Outdoors more than anybody, any other guest.
Wow.
Paul Smith.
Wow. Hi, Steve. Yeah, great to be here.
Yeah, Outdoors Editor, Journal Sentinel. So I'm going to let Nate sort of set up how this all happened. Why are we here? Why is this happening? Why are we doing this from deer camp?
Sure. And so I set up my deer camp starting really back in 2012 when we first purchased the 76 acres. That was what I called my seed crystal in this area.
Right next to
the Scafidi camp. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. The legendary Scafidi camp. Yeah. And so over the years, the camp has grown to 250 acres, and that's probably where it will stay for quite some time, which is great. But we had our first official camp in 2013. So we consider this to be deer camp number 13 for us. Even though we've had camps elsewhere, this is our 13th camp in this particular location with largely the same cast of characters. And how did this all come together? I've been reading Paul's columns for, I mean, a very, very, very long time, many years. I can't tell you how long. And over the years, you and our camp have developed a tradition where we get together on Friday evenings and we enjoy a campfire together and typically a fish fry or some sort of a meal. And I think that we both come to really enjoy that fellowship. And at one of those gatherings, probably I would guess 4 or 5 years ago, I can't remember exactly, you had suggested that I reach out to Paul because I always do look forward to reading his column about visiting a camp because I think I love the whole camp lore more than anything across Wisconsin. And I did. I sent him an email and he responded very quickly, very politely, kind of saying, well, I get a lot of invitations and I'll keep
you in
mind.
I'm sure he does.
Yeah. And last year, I think I may have sent him a reminder email that, hey,
you copied me on that email. I just looked at it today. Yes, you did.
I think I may have put you on there as kind of like putting the principal in.
Yeah.
Like, hey, I'm also going to let Steve know about this. And he responded affirmative. And so we've had the privilege now of hosting Paul Smith here at our deer camp.
Yeah, so we're all together. Paul, I mean, I have read, just like Nate, I've read those stories. You've interviewed and you stayed with people that I know, the Vucek family, Clark County. I remember that story well. And many other people that I've run into over the years doing the outdoors thing and my regular show. You do a pretty unique thing. Every year you go somewhere else. I mean, it's like, how many years is this now?
Yeah, I have been doing it 31 years.
That's crazy.
And 18 for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. I thought that when I started in this line of work that the readers could enjoy visiting different and getting a sample. Now, so if I've done 31, it's just skimming the surface of deer camps. And I grew up loving to hunt. And I have been a guest at many deer camps even before I started this work. And I just thought, rather than go do the same story every year, I would visit different ones and try to capture some of the range. And I've done Wauwatosa basement deer camps with the Quinnell brothers. They got together and they sleep in their basement and they hunted in Germantown and I joined them for that. So that's as Milwaukee area as you can get.
Right.
I've been in the big woods of Bayfield County where I hunted in a off the grid cabin with two friends and didn't see a deer in 2 days, totally different experience. I've done a lot of things in between. And when Nate reached out to me, I was like, that'd be fantastic because I have not done it. Waupaca County is one of the very best deer hunting counties in Wisconsin.
You always tell me the most deer in the state, right?
In 2025, I don't think you can pick a better spot in the state than this area. Mm-hmm. You could include Shawano County, but this area is right now as good as it gets. And knowing you and when Nate reached out, I just thought, well, let's do it. And I'm so happy that I'm here, and it's an honor to be with this big group.
Back to WTMJ Outdoors, presented by Outdoor Living Unlimited.
You're listening to a special live from Deer Camp edition of WTMJ Outdoors with Paul Smith from the Journal Sentinel and Nate Van Zeeland, who hosted all of us on opening weekend of gun deer season here in Wisconsin.
So I'm going to ask you sort of the same question, but in different ways for both of you. So Nate, landowner, hunter, friend now, what makes this weekend and these 9 days special to you? What is the big thing that brings you back every year? You're always going to be here.
Yeah. So it's changed over time. I would say even in the 13 years that this has been my land and the camp that is technically I control. Initially, yes, it had a lot to do with the people I was with, but I really cared a lot about the deer a lot. I really wanted to get deer, and I really wanted to focus on quality deer management. And while those goals have continued as I've aged, and as we've watched the members of our camps get older, right? We talked about it today. We have an 89-year-old with us.
My dad,
an 80-year-old.
Dominic, yeah.
Yep. And what I've come to realize is you don't know how many deer camps you have left. And so right now I've hit a point where I still enjoy deer hunting. I really do. And in full disclosure, I mostly prefer bow hunting from a hunting experience standpoint. But where I've really put my focus on during these gun hunt traditions has, for this camp, I've really focused on the people that are here. That's been my focus. And I've really put an emphasis on trying to honor the older generation, but also I put a special emphasis on trying to cultivate the next generation, because Paul's written a lot of articles, almost like an SOS across the state of Wisconsin, that our next generation isn't terribly interested in hunting.
On that point, tell the listeners and fans of the show how many young hunters you had this year. It's a big number.
Yeah. And so just this camp alone, we have a 10-year-old who's sitting behind me right now, and this is his first year camp, my nephew River. And we have my 15-year-old nephew Dax, who got his second and third deer this year.
Well done.
Yes. And we have my 15-year-old son, Owen, who didn't shoot this year, which is a departure from the norm. He's really developed into a really good deer hunter. And we also have a non-hunting nephew here, just not interested in it, but I want him to know that we still want him here. My 15-year-old nephew, Cooper, was up and just enjoying the camaraderie with everybody.
All right. So, Paul, sort of the same question, but it could be personal, it could be professional, it could be whatever. What makes this opening weekend of gun deer season so special for you?
Yeah, for me, it goes back to my childhood. My father did not hunt, and I grew up having the opportunity to learn to hunt in the area that my parents were living and raising their family. And when I think about this now, I always remember my dad, because he took me after I asked him to take me. You know, it was like he found a way. And I as a kid, used to plan the hunt, you know. It was like, and my dad would come along. We hunted, just one of our quick stories is that the late bow season used to be held around Christmas. And I decided we should go to Jackson County, which was the perennial leader in deer kill in the state. And my dad found a way to get a couple of days off work. And we went up there, and it was snowy and cold. I made a ground blind. I had a recurve bow. I didn't really supervise what my dad was packing. He had a knapsack. And my dad had served in the Army, and he knew what was going on. He just didn't have any hunting tradition in his family. And he was not hunting. He was just there because his 14-year-old wanted to go. And it was a cold, crisp morning. He opened his knapsack and he slowly got out a Wall Street Journal and opened it in the 7-degree air, and it just crinkled. And I want to tell you that even then, I recognized how wonderful it was that we were doing this together. Mm-hmm. We didn't see a deer. You know, it's a tough thing to do a ground blind with a bow and get but those experiences are with me now. And it's why I love to meet new people, go to different deer camps, and help celebrate this longstanding tradition we have in the state.
Welcome back to WTMJ Outdoors, presented by Outdoor Living Unlimited.
You're listening to a special live from Deer Camp edition of WTMJ Outdoors with Paul Smith from the Journal Sentinel and Nate Van Zeelen, who hosted all of us on opening weekend of gun deer season here in Wisconsin.
You know, I spend a lot of time on my regular broadcast week talking about technology and politics and all that stuff. But the cool thing that I like about opening weekend is, even though the faces may change, even though there's some technology introduced, right, trail cams and all that stuff, it's sort of the same thing every year. And that's, I think that's why so many people, you always tell me, like 500,000 plus or 600,000 in the big years, want to do it every year. It dwarfs everything else we do as far as recreation in this, unless you're throwing boating. It's absolutely incredible. So looking at as long as you've done it, what do you think is the biggest change or something that you see as sort of not traditional? What's changed?
Well, what we have today is Steve, if you only went back 50, 60 years, there was not as strong a bow hunting component as we have today. Now we have crossbows are allowed for all hunters. We have a bow season that starts in mid-September and runs in many counties all the way to the end of January. So that opportunity for bow hunters now is greater than it ever was. So what's happened in recent decades is there's less of an emphasis on this gun hunt, and some of that has shifted into the bow seasons. And I think it's totally fine and healthy. This is still the big bang, though. This is the gun deer season. It still has the most people involved. It kills the most deer. So from a deer management standpoint, it's still the most important hunt. And it has the biggest economic impact to our state.
What do you think, Nate? Anything changed in that time, the way you approach it as 13 years as a landowner here or even before that? What's the obviously trail cams. You're a big devotee of trail cams.
Yeah.
And you can talk about that because I see the pictures you send me. It does. It clearly makes for a better hunt. You clearly know the deer on your property.
Yep.
Better than anybody that I'm hunting with on the other side of the property line, because we don't do that. We don't have trail cam. So that, I mean, that seems like an obvious one.
Yeah. I would say even if you go back to when I started hunting in the mid to late 1980s, I don't think I knew anybody who bow hunted. I don't think I did. In fact, the first time I shot a bow was toward the end of college at UW-Stevens Point. And so bow hunting just wasn't anything that anyone did, but almost every, at that time, boy in our school had soft circled opening weekend of deer season. Like once you were 12 and passed hunter safety, you flat out went. Everyone did it. And so that was the focus of the year. And that was what everyone, when you said deer hunting, that's what you thought of, was the gun deer season. And that has definitely shifted for me, where I get excited for the bow hunt. From a technological standpoint, oh my goodness. Like, I mean, when I look back, we used to use like alcohol soaked toilet paper in a Folgers can as a heater. Like we would light that on fire. Well, what else lights on fire when you do that? Your legs and a number of other things. So the technology is unbelievable. I will say that trail cameras are a major one. And for me, it achieves a number of different goals. And I talked with Paul about this. I'm very interested in managing the deer herd for the health of the herd. But at the same time, I find incredible joy in pursuing large mature bucks. And for us, we define those, and it's different from camp to camp what that is. And I'm not judging. Whatever people do, that I'm fine with it. It's your property. But for us, we want to get them to at least 4 to 5 years old. And one of the ways that we can study them better and get to know them is through trail cameras. And with the cellular capabilities of these, I I don't know that it's made me a better hunter, but it's allowed me to get a better idea of an inventory of what's there. But it's also given me a great appreciation for if I pass on that deer this year, what that deer can be in the next year. And I can tell you right now, I can't do it alone because we've got an exceptional group of neighbors who, for the most part, it's all, you know, we all have our different philosophies, but for the most part, I've got an incredible group of neighbors that take pride in growing large deer together. And so we shoot a lot of does because you have to in this county to be responsible, in my opinion. That's not everywhere across the state, but certainly in Waupaca County it is. And so we eat plenty of venison, but we let younger bucks go. That's just our general philosophy. That doesn't apply to young kids because that's the balancing act. Because I've seen some camps where, you know, they almost worship antlers and at the expense of making it so hard for kids to enjoy the experience that I've been very mindful to try to build up their enthusiasm. And if they shoot a small little basket 8-pointer, cool. I'm excited for them.
The joy of seeing that person's, the kid's face.
Absolutely.
Or young adult's face is
it's part of their development.
Absolutely amazing.
Yeah. And ultimately by getting kids involved, like I don't think to be a good person, you have to kill an animal. But what's important to me is if you're a meat eater, I think it's important that you understand that somebody does this for you. If you go and pick up pork chops at the grocery store, somebody raised that pig, somebody butchered that pig, and they put it into a cellophane wrap and got it to that grocery store. So someone did all that dirty work for you. So I think it's good just to be a conscientious eater.
Back to WTMJ Outdoors, presented by Outdoor Living Unlimited.
You're listening to a special live from Deer Camp edition of WTMJ Outdoors with Paul Smith from the Journal Sentinel and Nate Van Zeeland, who hosted all of us on opening weekend of gun deer season here in Wisconsin.
I didn't ask you this question right away because I want to get to the other stuff, but away from the hunting, and we're going to talk specifically about today because today it was off the charts, and once you hear us talk about it, you'll understand why it was. Your favorite part of opening weekend, not the hunting part, but the favorite part could be the food, could be, you know, who shows up, could be beef jerky that someone brings that you enjoy every year, whatever it is.
Yeah, there's no doubt for me the number one is the people. It will always be the people. And it's a very family-dominated group. We also have some incredible friends that are nearly here every year. And what I'm really excited about is we are now a three-generation camp. And that is becoming increasingly rare. And so I want to preserve that for as long as possible. So, and I will say that as far as an event that I really look forward to, it used to be being out for opening morning and watching the sun come up and getting ready for the big one to come around the corner. I'll be honest, right now I look forward to the campfire on Friday night when you guys stop over.
It's a lot of fun.
Equal and listening to the river in the background, like that is therapeutic for me.
All right, Paul. Favorite part of, I mean, it's obviously you're working, but you're also enjoying it. And we'll talk about your successful day on the opening day of 2025 gun deer season in a second. What is it about this day and this weekend that you love so much?
You know, so for me, I'm looking for this variety and meeting new people. I'm looking forward to hearing about Nate and his story and the family here, getting to know this area, this land. I drove up on Friday through Waupaca County, and the little towns and the county highways past the farms. I mean, honestly, it's almost like time. It's like people, if you're listening to this anywhere in the Midwest, you should really visit Waupaca County. It's so beautiful. And it's almost like it's a 20, 40, 50 years ago. It could be. Some of these farmsteads look like they haven't changed at all. Mm-hmm. And it really calmed me as I was driving up from Milwaukee into this part of central Wisconsin for this wonderful tradition. So I look forward to getting out and having another experience, adding another chapter to this tremendous tradition.
All right. Since you got the mic, I'm going to ask you about the hunt portion of today, and then we'll get to the fun stuff because it was fun in a lot of unique ways. And once everybody sees the picture of how our host is, he's got quite an outfit on for the celebration tonight. But that part, the hunt today, you were hunting on Nate Van Zeeland's land. I think he put you in a good spot.
Yes.
Tell us about it.
Oh, certainly. So Nate took me out in dark And he dropped off two of the younger hunters first and then brought me to a stand, which was overlooking a field. And only a couple hundred yards from the Little Wolf River.
Right, yeah.
Just this beautiful area. Stars were out. Orion, the hunter constellation, I could see.
Good karma.
And totally. And there was a pink sunrise. I was in an elevated blind. It was 18 degrees in Clintonville this morning.
It was cold.
According to my phone. So it was cold, but I was in an enclosed stand and I was totally comfortable. I spent all day out there today, which is not that common. I mean, honestly, I have done that, and I did it today. I was comfortable. It got into the 40s. I saw one deer at 10 o'clock. And but it wasn't, there wasn't a lot of activity this morning. I had a bald eagle, a sub-adult bald eagle flew in low directly at me, 30 feet over my head.
Wow.
Right down the field and went over me. And a wild turkey. The first animal I saw today was a hen wild turkey. I love hunting for all of this. I mean, sitting out and just observing and waiting, you know, we're out there to hunt deer. So I'm waiting for an opportunity. After 3 o'clock this afternoon is when things really started to move. And I ended up seeing 13 deer overall.
Yeah. Very well.
Welcome back to WTMJ Outdoors, presented by Outdoor Living Unlimited.
You're listening to a special live from Deer Camp edition of WTMJ Outdoors with Paul Smith from the Journal Sentinel and Nate Van Zeeland, who hosted all of us on opening weekend of gun deer season here in Wisconsin.
The hunt part of today. I mean, you were all over the place. You were I called you the ambassador of Deer Camp because you were ushering hunters around. You were obviously later in the day, you were field dressing deer, hauling them around. I mean, Tell people who are listening what happened here today.
Yeah, so this year in particular, this is the first time I can think of in recent history that I didn't sit in a stand by myself for myself this morning. I got my son settled. I got my nephew settled. I got Paul settled. He'd never been here before, right? So we walked out to the area that I affectionately call the honey hole, which is one of my favorite stands on the property. And then I backed out of the woods and I let these guys hunt. And another way that technology helps is you can we can now text message with one another.
Yeah.
So I can kind of mentor from afar because I literally get questions from the young guys like, what do you think? What should I do here? And I can kind of be like the invisible hand from afar.
Quick story on that. So I was part of that text exchange, but I was on the backside of a ridge and so I had nothing coming into me. And as soon as I got over the top, I don't know how many text messages and pictures and stories and, you know, awesome job. They all flooded into my text exchange there. So I love the communication.
Yeah. Yes. And so, you know, I gave Paul an out today. I said, hey, if you want to come out for lunch, feel free. Traditionally, I've always been a dark to dark hunter, especially opening weekend for the most part, at least opening day. But this year I didn't even go in the woods. And so we just kind of hung out here, my dad and I, and we had coffee and breakfast together and a Kringle, which was great. And then I brought my son and nephew out for a lunch. And then all four of us went back and I got them back to their stands. And then my dad and I sat together.
Nice.
And we were in a spot that we were hunting for ourselves, but I could also kind of peer up. I was in an elevated area where I could peer down at where my nephew was hunting, where with my binoculars, I had an idea of what action he was getting. And I could help guide and even warn him like, hey, you've got some does coming from the west, et cetera. And my dad and I did not have a deer come out where we were hunting, but I saw a ton of deer heading toward my nephew, which was a lot of fun. And so I told my nephew last year, he got a beautiful 2-year-old 10 pointer with me as his mentor. He made a beautiful shot but I was with him the entire time. And this year I was pretty proud of him because it's part of his development. He was out there 100% by himself, even though we communicated via text. He identified the deer. He got all the things you take for granted, got the safety off, made the right shot, and made two beautiful shots on two beautiful antlerless deer.
This is the part that I think you are leading the way. And it's one of the reasons I wanted to have you on the show and feature this camp, because you are leading the way on using all the things we just talked about, the technology, the mentoring, the young people, three generations you talked about. That's not happening everywhere. And I think this... I hope people listen as an example of what, if all these people that are hunting complain about, why aren't people, this is how you change that dynamic. And by the way, add some young women in the mix too, because that's happening across the state too.
Yeah.
This is where the passion has to come from. And you mentioned another thing that's really key to me. You don't have to be a hunter to enjoy deer camp.
Right.
You don't have to hunt. Just enjoy the weekend. All right. Today was also about fun. Now, you hit it out of the park today. So I want you to kind of walk through what the plan was. So Nate, we'll share a picture on all our social media, but Nate's got almost a blaze orange sport coat on, an orange tie. You got your traditional red hat on from hunting. It's like all you guys have.
The Stormy Cromer, yeah. Traditional Stormy Cromer cap.
So how and now Paul Smith has one. So how did this idea come together? And obviously Paul's the featured guest. So, I mean, right. That's part of it. But, I mean, just walk people through what you actually did on the fun side of things, mostly tonight.
Yeah. And so, you know, it's not every day that we have the outdoor editor from the Journal Sentinel right. that joins Woo. Our camp. And so we haven't suffered at this camp. Okay. I've typically had a friend who cooks an incredible meal on Saturday evenings, and he couldn't be part of the camp this year. But he set the bar so high. I'm like, oh shoot, I've got Paul Smith coming here. Like I can't fumble this one because I'm a terrible cook. And, and so one thing led to the other. It was almost serendipity, but, we had, incredible group of chefs come and put together a five course meal for our group. And, this isn't going to be something we do all the time. Sorry guys. but the occasion was perfect to just have fun and enjoy time together. And what better way to do it over a very slow five course meat centric meal that we all had time to have a conversation in between.
Give your friends some love, the Hernandez brothers.
Yeah.
Hector. Wow.
Yep. Yep.
And Ruben.
Hector and Ruben Hernandez. And to just go back another, they're just incredible young men. But their mother, who unfortunately passed away prematurely, was someone who worked at a restaurant that we frequented for many years.
And name of?
The name of the restaurant is called Zacatecas, yeah. And her name mm-hmm. was Lulu.
Right.
And she literally, especially people she knew, although even people she really didn't know, she was just such a genuinely warm person. She would greet you with a hug, but it was the most loving hug. It wasn't just a hug. And so when she passed away, a lot of her patrons in the city of Neenah, Wisconsin, felt a loss. Okay. We lost a friend, not just, you know, someone at a restaurant that we frequented, and Hector and Ruben, that's are her sons. And the fact that we could have this full circle moment where they can come out and kind of experience our deer camp and then put together, I think you would agree, an unbelievable
I was
menu.
Sharing the pictures of these courses with my wife. She goes, this is not deer camp.
Yeah.
This was, I mean, I've been in a lot of nice places around the world. This was the highest level of cuisine, maybe in any deer camp in the state today.
It was pretty incredible.
It was absolutely insane. Yeah,
and kudos to the Hernandez brothers. Like they made it happen. And but I'd like to point out, like for people that are listening, that doesn't make the deer camp. I don't care if you're eating cream of mushroom soup out of a can. If you're with the right people, that's what makes a deer camp special.
All right, I'm going to give you each a chance. Paul, you go first. Paul Smith, Journal Sentinel Outdoors editor, and Nate Van Zeelen, landowner and friend, and as I said, a mentor for future generations of hunting. A thought about the hunting season, a thought about today. You can take it wherever you want to. Just something you're going to remember about 2025. It's still one day of nine, so could have some great stories to go, but something that you want to share.
Well, if every deer camp in Wisconsin had a Nate,
we'd be in good shape.
The future prospects for hunting would be completely positive.
Yeah.
So this is really impressive to see the three generations involved, how they're mentoring the younger hunters, how they're, you know, making it fun, safe, and inviting people who don't hunt. You know, this is about family, really. And this is about connecting people to the outdoors. Nate has this tremendous property here, and he's sharing it. That's really key. So for me, that's what today was. The sun came up, and I've just been able to enjoy and soak in all of these positive things. We helped him get most of the way to his goal of antlerless deer quota, and I'm happy about that. And we were a little late to dinner because we were out field dressing deer. We had four deer to take care of, and we got it done, and then we had a tremendous meal. So this is there's never been a day like this one before, and I will treasure this forever.
All right, Nam, I'm gonna give you the last word because you are host. To tell, you know, favorite thought or something you want to say to our great fans and listeners on WTMJ.
Well, first thing that I would mention, or that I would reiterate, you mentioned Waupaca County, and it is an exceptional county. And what makes it exceptional is the people that live here. I can tell you, having had property here for the last 13 plus years, these are incredibly hardworking, nice people. So they make great neighbors. I just love the people of Waupaca County. I'm a physician and I take care of a lot of people from this county. And I absolutely am honored to take care of people from this county. They do things the right way for the right reason. And so as far as a takeaway for me this year, you know what, we created a lot of excitement in our camp to help me get to my goal of 10 does taken off the property, 10 antlerless deer. For that was my particular management goal. And guess what? A lot of our hunters stood up to the challenge, and we had two through the bow season. And with the six more today, you know, we're at eight with a long ways to go. And so I think Paul got a taste of when evening struck, you know, all of a sudden, boom, there come the deer. And we have a really healthy herd here. And right now, to manage a healthy herd, I feel strongly that given the amount of acreage I control, I need to be aggressive on the doe harvest. That may not be true in every county, every region, every area. Circumstances are different, but for me to be responsible in this area, as much as I love to chase trophy, large 4 or 5 year old bucks or higher, we've got to shoot a lot of does in this area.
I'm going to give you one of the best tributes I can give you. And I might choke up talking about it, but my godfather, Sam Scafidi, who on the land that we now hunt on and you adjoin, would have said, first of all, well done, Nate. But he also said, he would have said, I absolutely love the way Nate approaches gun deer hunting and the way he approaches conservation. He would have absolutely loved you, Nate. Wow. So I'll pass it on. He's been gone for a couple decades, but you would have loved him.
I wish I had met him.
Absolutely.
Coming up after the break on WTMJ Outdoors, presented by Outdoor Living Unlimited, we'll talk to the chefs who made our Saturday night meal at Deer Camp so special. That's all coming up on WTMJ Outdoors on 620 WTMJ.
Welcome back to WTMJ Outdoors, presented by Outdoor Living Unlimited.
Hey, we're live at Deer Camp opening weekend. Basically, we're just west of Big Falls, 30 miles east of Point, probably 12 miles or so from Clintonville, northern Wisconsin, maybe mid-Wisconsin. One of the cool features about this year's Deer Camp is my friend Nate Van Zeelen, who's sort of hosting us on Saturday night, has put together a feast, and we are lucky enough to be joined for this quick interview with, because they're really busy, they're making a lot of food for like 20 people, Hector Hernandez, his brother Ruben, and their lovely assistant Mika, who's not on the mic, but gentlemen, tell us about it. What are you making?
We have an old array of things today. We actually have a stuffed wing. We're doing a tostone with smoked salmon and shrimp. We're doing a pork negimaki, which is kind of like a pork sushi. And then New York strip with a potato croquette, you know, deep fried, crispy, full of cheese. And then we're finishing it with a tres leches cake infused with beer, bourbon, and bacon.
Okay, so we typically eat casseroles when we're at Deer Camp. Like whatever somebody has it in their fridge or their cabinet, throw in there. And this is not that. This is like fantastic food. So for either, Ruben, you can jump in. How do you guys have the expertise to put this all together?
I mean, like, we both have worked in restaurants for a very long time. And also, we've also have been butchers for a very long time as well.
Good skill to have.
Yes, I currently work as a butcher. And so, like, I mean, like, luckily, like, with me working at Wagner Market in Oshkosh, shout out. not only that, we also process venison. You know, you guys want to get into that. But
what is Deer Camp?
Yeah, Deer Camp. Yeah, no, I should have brought my brochures.
You should have.
But all I got to say is that, like, you know, for instance, like the first course, we have a stuffed wing.
Yeah.
And have you ever had a stuffed wing?
I'm not even sure how you would stuff like wing.
You got to debone a whole chicken wing. It is beautiful. It's one of the best. You know, it is a Asian dish, but you know one thing? We turn it into Wisconsin. So like, I mean, like we have like, you know, it's November. So there is sweet potato. There's rosemary, garlic. We got venison, turkey and pork in this wing as
well.
This
is crazy talk. All right. So Hector, I'm watching you get ready. So I was here at about 4:15. Mm-hmm. It's about 4:45. How long is this all going to take to put together? By when's dinner time, I guess, is my question.
So we'll be eating pretty much like 6:30. Whenever the guys are ready, we'll have the food ready. So we've kind of prepped and staged all of our stuff. So we're just pretty much just waiting for the time. So we get all of our utensils together, our tools together, and you know, when the guys are hungry, we start firing food.
I love it. So you're going to open a restaurant at some point, or are you just catering events?
So I just kind of do catering events and stuff. I do like private events, private and personal chef work. I actually work as a chef at Lawrence University in Appleton now. But of course, I worked as a butcher for some years, and our dad used to own 3 restaurants, so we've been coming up in the restaurant since we were kids.
All right, so we're going to eat like kings and queens. Tonight, this is like a rare treat. I'll tell you how it all turned out.
Thanks, as always, for listening to WTMJ Outdoors. Thanks to Outdoor Living Unlimited for making it all possible. We had a blast at Deer Camp this year. Opening weekend of gun deer season, we were in Waupaca County. Weather was pretty good. A little overcast on Saturday, and some sun came out on Sunday. I want to give thanks to Paul Smith, the tremendous outdoors editor and writer at the Journal Sentinel, who joined us for the opening weekend. He writes brilliantly for the paper, and he's certainly going to capture the essence of our camp and all things gun deer season in Wisconsin, an incredible tradition. Also, much thanks to Nate Van Zeelen, who hosted all of us on Friday and Saturday nights. We had some great food, but more importantly, it was a coming together, which we've now made an annual event with Nate and his group, and they were spectacular. The food was amazing. And I had the Hernandez brothers on the last part of the show, who brought to us something that we haven't done in the past. And again, thanks to Nate for setting this all up. A 5-course meal that was absolutely spectacular. They are certainly restaurateurs, and they can offer great catered meal services. So if you're in the area, in the Neenah area, they can certainly be found. And they will not disappoint. For all of you hunters, be safe in the woods. We know the hunting season goes on for a few more days through the Thanksgiving weekend. Be safe in the woods. Enjoy what is an incredible tradition here in Wisconsin. And like every week on WTMJ Outdoors, this show is about all of you. So if you have any ideas or topics or feedback, you can always send them my way at steve.scafidi2s1d@wtmj.com. And I appreciate your emails. Watch us on all the platforms and Facebook, Twitter, all social media, WTMJ, 620 WTMJ as well. Thanks for listening. As always, we'll do it again next week. This is WTMJ Outdoors, presented by Outdoor Living Unlimited on 620 WTMJ.